بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وأشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This 21st day of Ramadan, 1,426 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Today again, insha'Allah, we will continue with Surah Al-Baqarah. The last verse we read was the 23rd verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. Am I correct? قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Inshallah, today we shall take the 34th verse. Verse number 34 in Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give the kisa of the creation of man and what transpired between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika, and of course other than the malaika. Verse number 34, you read it today.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the creation of Adam as he was telling the malaika, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Is that how it is? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he told the malaika he was going to create Nabi Adam alayhi salam. The malaika were asking why it was necessary to create human beings that they already knew would be murderers on earth, would, you know, commit sins of different kinds. And then they were asking Allah why it was necessary when he already had them, that all they were doing was worshipping Allah. And Allah said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know what you do not know. And, you know, as part of the things Allah knew which they did not know, Allah taught Adam alayhi salatu wasalam the names of some things, and, you know, ordered Adam alayhi, the malaika, to tell Allah the names of those things which he had told Adam. He didn't know when he told him. And of course they did know the names of those things, but they immediately realized that they had made a mistake. They said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And then they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, glory be to you. They actually realized that we do not know anything. The only thing we know is that which you have taught us. So we can only know when you have taught us. When you have not taught us, there is nothing we can know. And we know that إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are the most knowledgeable, and then you are the wisest. You are the king of wisdom. بَمَلَائِكَ تُوَى اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى that. And then Allah is now going to tell us about something else. But you see, let's remind ourselves of the fact that when the Malaika now confessed to their sin, the only thing they said then was سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Is there any other word of istighfar they used there apart from this? It is Adam that used the word of istighfar. وَلَنَّا أَنْفُسَنَا هِيَا هَوَى إِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. But the Malaika, did they use any word of istighfar? Did they say, oh Allah, forgive us? They didn't. They just said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. So, if you have offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many ways by which you can do istighfar. You don't have to be through saying, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَزِيزُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. Even though that's a fantastic istighfar, because that's a lot of reward if you say that. Yeah? If you say that, there's a lot of there are reward for that. But then you can say things that do not contain in them, either physically, like you can hear, they do not contain the word astaghfirullah, for instance, but they also be istighfar. Sometimes sadaqah is istighfar. Allah could forgive your sins through sadaqah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ أَدُلَّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْأَلِيمِ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. And then he said, يغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Why did Allah say he would forgive their sins? Because he did jihad في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم. That's all they did. They believed in Allah and in Rasul صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and they did jihad with their souls, and they did jihad with their money. And that was what earned them the, you know, forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. In another ayah also Allah says, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. And so on and so forth. So, good deed, sadaqah, just, you know, deceiving your brother with a smile. If you exist in your life without meeting any Muslim, there is no day you sleep meeting any Muslim, that somebody has offended you and you have not forgiven them, there has never been such a time that you slept like that. That alone is istighfar for you, because Allah will forgive your sins for that. And we promise you Al-Jannah, no doubt about it. The only barrier between you and Al-Jannah will be the life you're living here. Because you have to die first, live another life before you can get into Al-Jannah. So the only barrier between you and forgiveness from Allah will be there. Once you have died, you have Al-Jannah, you think you're forgiven. Why? Because you came with a good deed. And the good deed was that you were a very forgiving person. You know, when Zunnun, what's the other name for Zunnun? Maybe you don't call a prophet like that. Anyway, it's all right. But it's better to say Nabi or Rasul, or, you know, like that. But it's all the same. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, when he offended Allah, when he got angry, Allah wasn't happy with him over that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to test him. He told him that what he had done was wrong. When he now realized that he had actually offended Allah and he wanted forgiveness, what did he say? لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. بدي في أسأل الله بدي في الله فضيرني في غير لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك تكبير is very very good. سبحان الله you say there is no way you don't say because just simply saying سبحان الله سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم just saying that every day سبحانه وتعالى forgive your sins for that. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said that if you say this dua, you call this dua, even though you didn't ask for anything, in it, did you ask for anything? You didn't ask for anything, but you called it dua. That's dua al-zikr, not dua al-mas'ala. You didn't ask for anything, but you called Allah's name. And you call this in respect, you call this in submission. And that will earn you Al-Jannah and Allah's forgiveness. If you are in any trouble, if you are in any debt, if you are in a quagmire, just take that and leave the rest to Allah. Allah will get you out of it. Yunus, alayhi salam, was in the belly of the fish. Now we can sit here. Of course, you know the type of fish that can swallow a human being. They are probably talking about the blue whale or something like that. He was in there and he just said, La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And Allah brought him out. Allah brought him out. So if you were to be put in fire, Allah in fire, you come out with iman, If Allah has not deceived, if you die there at that time, of course Allah will bring you out, even if you didn't say that. But if you say it, if Allah decreed you would die there, you will not die feeling pain. You just die when it's time. But the pain that you're supposed to feel for that dua, Allah will take it away. Allah decreed that, you know, ordained or was part of the qadr of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was going to be thrown into fire. There is nothing to have stopped it. He had to be thrown because Allah had already decreed that. But what happened? When he was thrown there for his iman, he didn't even know that it was fire. He probably thought he was thrown into a pool, a swimming pool, you know, water, cold water or something. Allah made it cold because of his iman and his zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important when you are in a problem, you can beg Allah, you can do dua al-mas'ala, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you earn a reward. You say, oh Allah, do this to me, oh Ya Rabbi, do that. There's also a reward for it. But just tasbih, when you actually need nothing, just sitting, do tasbih. La ilaha illallah, you know, do istighfar, do, recite the Quran, do things alone. We set you reward and Allah forgive us too. May Allah forgive us. But after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now telling us what happened after them. After that had happened, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught Adam, had given him knowledge, that Adam alayhi salatu wa salam now was elevated. He now got a promotion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The malaika, if you have not forgotten, were already existing before Adam was created, Nabi Adam was created. Weren't they? Yes, they were. They were already existing. They were already worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah liked them, and they liked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before Adam was created. They still liked him. But when Adam was created, even after Adam was created, they were very knowledgeable. They say they know some things about the human being which the human being himself does not know. Until the day you will die, you will not know all the things that they know about you. They know the day that you will die. But Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وينزل بغيثة ويعلم ما في الأرحام. وما تدري نفسا ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفسا بأي أرض تموت. ولكن كيف مثل هذا من بيته نفسه إن الله عنده علم الساعة. If Allah knows the day and the time that the Qiyamah will be, that this world will completely cease to exist, only Allah knows. Even the Malaika do not know this. Because Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam told the brief in that hadith, مَنْ مَسْئُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. Which means, the real also does not know. The Malaika do not know the exact day. But وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ, if Allah sends down the rain, some of the Malaika know this. Because the Malak that is called Ar-Ra'd is the one that is responsible for rain. So when Allah wants to send down the rain, it's that Malak that will flood the Sahab. And then the Sahab will form into what Allah dropped as rain. So the Ra'd knows when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to send down the rain, because he is the one that Allah sends with the rain. So وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. At the time that you have not yet become a human being, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows what you will be. But before you become a human being and give it life, it's the malak that Allah will send to bring life into you. So some of the malak also know that which nobody knows amongst us. And then nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. But the malaika have already been asked to write what tomorrow will be. And then where you will die. And in fact, what will happen to you after your death. The Malaika have been told to write that already. And they know this much, and you should know that. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the human being something that they do not know too. And because of this thing that the human being was taught, which they did not know, Allah decided now that that human being would be more important than them. Because they will now have to do something to the human being to show that he is actually superior to them. And Allah said, وَإِذْ قِلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَ Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, tell your people about the story of Adam. When we say to the Malaika, to the angels, اُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ, we say to them, bow to Adam. فَسَجَدُوا, and they bowed. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ, with the exception of Iblis. Abba, he refused to bow. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ, and he was arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and because of that, he was amongst the kuffar. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he said to the Malaika, اُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. And I didn't say, وَاسْجُدْ, I said, bow. I don't know if any of you was wondering why it is bow rather than prostrate. Is there a difference in English between prostrating and bowing? Prostrating and bowing. What is the difference? Huh? What? Bend is bowing. What is prostration? We already have different definitions here. Which one is correct? Some say you lie flat on the ground. That's prostration. Some say you have to put your head, your forehead on the ground. Do you have to do that to be said to be prostration? Somebody tell me, I don't know, that's what I'm asking. Huh? You say, what you said is correct, okay, you accept it as correct, since nobody is Lord. So it's a difference between prostrating and bowing. This is there, yes there is, like you say. So I chose the word bowing instead of prostrating, because I know that most people who are translating the Quran use the word prostration. Yeah, but I say bow. And there's a reason why I chose that. Sujood in Arabic, the word sujood in Arabic has more than one meaning. First of all, so the Arabs, before Islam, before the Quran, sujood given to them has two meanings. And that's why to us today it still has two meanings, because the Sharia did not subtract and did not have to go. So we leave them as two. The first is there is sujood in Hida. And second, there is the sujood of Ibadah. We had it too in the time, only what is different from what we have now. But in the Sharia, the sujood of Ibadah is not only one type. Some people who have done a commentary on this one, as far as I understand, have made a lot of mistakes, because they probably did not understand what they were talking about very well, or that it was just ittiba al-hawa. You just wanted people to hear what you wanted them to hear, and that was all. It's not as if they actually wanted to tell people the truth of the matter. But the sujood of ibadah is not only one type. There is the sujood of ibadah, like in salah, or outside salah, that needs ablution. That's the sujood of salah. The sujood in which case you put your forehead on the ground, you perform sujood with your palms touching the ground like this, placed on the ground, your palms. If you perform sujood like this, that's not sujood as far as salah is concerned. The sujood of salah will need this, that you place your palms like this on the ground. Not some people put them like this, because they don't want their fine clothes to get dirty, so they put their hands like this. Well, I want them to see their palms on their chest or whatever, you know, face this side. So that this guy that was touching the ground would not touch the beautiful clothes. Or some, you know, place this on the ground. Like this, the back of the palm. So that when they're placing on their body, they place the actual palm. That's not correct. But the sujood of salah has to do with this, and also the toes. We demonstrated all of that last year. So you have to do that, and they are the same. You know, your knees will have to be placed on the ground and fixed on the ground too. Straight. Erect like this. Not bending towards the side and not forward. Just straight like this. And you have your sujood of salah, and also the adhkar that come with it. That's one type of sujood, of ibadah. The sujood of ibadah that does not need ablution, in which case you don't need to face the qibla. Like to do the shukr, you don't need ablution for to do the shukr. And the most authentic thing is that you do not even need ablution for the sujood of tilawah. If you're reciting the Quran, whether you have ablution or not, if you have read an ayah that demands sujood tilawah, you do not need to have ablution before you can perform that sujood. And you do not have to be facing the qibla too. And some people think that in the sujood of ibadah, you have to have ablution, you have to be facing the qibla, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's not always compulsory. So these are the two different types of sujood al-ibadah. But then the other sujood of inhina, in which we show respect, That's what happened in the time of Adam alayhi salam. Because let's ask ourselves a simple question. Do you believe that Allah could have been asking the Malaika to prostrate to Adam the way that Allah said only he should be prostrated to, like that? He has been asking the Malaika to do that. He has been to do the ibadah. That he asked the Malaika to perform ablution, face the Qibla, and prostrate to Adam. The type of sujood that you do only to Allah. Is that what you are asking the Malaika to do? No. What was he asking? To do the Iqtidaa. Huh? Or what? Was it to do the Iqtidaa? Or to do the sujood you know in Salah of Ibadah? Al-Iqtidaa, for respect. Is it true? Why did he say that? Because Allah says in the Quran, لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهم. Isn't it? Allah says generally, لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Do not prostrate to the sun, neither to be prostrate to the moon. Neither the sun nor the moon should be done with prostration. What sujood was Allah talking to Allah here? Both. If Allah says, don't eat. And he talks about, he don't eat anything. That's what we say in Sharia. If we do the umur of Allah's commandment, it's better than doing tasbih unless you have a reason. It's better than being particular. If you are general about Allah's commandment, it's better. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls your entire life. So if he gives a commandment and he does not specify, make it general. Anything that commandment will affect, make it affected. Unless you have an ayah which has made that command particular. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So now Allah says, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Don't prostrate to the sun and also don't prostrate to the moon. I think he was only saying you can't prostrate to these two. But then Allah will tell you that he didn't mean that. He said, وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ. So it's only to Allah that you should prostrate. That's what Allah is saying there. So generally, don't prostrate to anything. Only to Allah. Wala sujood al-ibna or sujood al-ibadah. Don't do to anybody or to anything. He said a chance was coming there, but then to show you that he was generalizing, he said, wasjudillah. Don't do to anybody, kaza wa kaza wa kaza. Everything other than Allah does not deserve your prostration. Both sujood al-ibna or sujood al-ibadah. That's that in the Quran, in our time, in our Sharia. But during the time of Adam, Allah said to the Malaika, sujood al-Adam. Now if he says sujood al-Adam, then Allah says that the prostration worship, because the prostration of the sujood and all that, that's worship, that is completely. He said nobody deserves that except Allah. So we will remove this from the sujood that the Malaika did to Nabi Adam. Because it's not possible for Allah himself to command his creatures to do what he says he does not permit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la ya'muru bil fahsha. Anything that is bil fahsha, Allah will never ask anybody to do. So when he asked the Malaika to prostrate to bow to Adam, alayhi salam, it was not al fahsha. He commanded and he obeyed. So now we say that sujood is sujood bil fahsha. not the fatigue of ibadah. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, after they had done all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was bestowing them that Yusuf was actually better than them, was more knowledgeable and more pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Is it far or what? وَخَضُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they bowed to him. And what type of sujood was that? Inhina. And they bowed to him to show respect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that. In this case, Allah did not command them to do it. They did it on their own. This race, they did it on their own. Were they people who never committed anything because his brothers did? But unless Allah says they did, Allah didn't say that they committed an offense. Did he? He didn't say that going to Yusuf was an offense. So we take it that it was not an offense. Okay? In their Sharia. Now in our Sharia, is it right to bow to anybody to do the Ihna? Because we have seen that during the time of the Malaika, you know, when Adam had not yet been sent to this world, and also in the time of Nabi Yusuf, when to do the Ihna, it was shown to have been Mubah. In fact, in the case of the Malaika, it was compulsory because Allah had asked them to do it. And if Allah commands a Muslim, it's compulsory that he takes it from the command of Allah, unless Allah says otherwise. Unless Allah says, I commanded you to do this, but it's not compulsory. For anybody who wants reward, you can do this. For instance, then you say, okay, so it's not compulsory. Sometimes if I can't, I'll do it. If I cannot, I'll leave it. But in the case, it's not compulsory. But what of an answer here? Because what we think is that the Sharia of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is our Sharia. The Sharia of Musa alayhi salam is our Sharia. The Sharia of Isa alayhi salam is our Sharia. Why? Because Allah said we should follow all of them and believe in them. Al-Dekho. Then, So anyway, the Sharia of Isa, the Sharia of Musa, the Sharia of Adam, the Sharia, they all are Sharia. That part of the Sharia which Rasulullah alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam tells us is not for us. For instance, the Yahud, their Sharia, if a woman, if their wife were menstruating, they were not even supposed to sit near her. They could not eat from the same bowl. They didn't do anything with their wife if they were menstruating. Nothing. It's still in the Bible. Isn't it? The book of Leviticus, if I'm not mistaken. You'll find those laws there. They don't touch them. They don't come near them. They don't sit on the same bed as them. It's still there in the Old Testament. That was the Sharia. But Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam now said, to you, do everything with them except the Lord. So now the Sharia in this aspect is not us. Do you understand? Fine. So if the Sharia of Yusuf, let's say that it was permissible to bow, to show respect, that if you were showing somebody respect, you could bow to him. Because his brothers did it and Allah did not condemn it. Even though he didn't say he asked them to do it, but he didn't condemn it. So we assume that it was right. in the time of Adam, before he was sent to the world, it was a first impression for the Malaika to bow to him, because Allah asked him to do it and he did. But in our Sharia, is it permissible? Is it? Quiet. You said no, he didn't say no. Why are you asking him? In our Sharia, let's ask ourselves, is it permissible to bow, to show respect, bow to somebody, is it? No, why? First of all, in the Quran, in our Sharia, in the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ. The sujood we're talking about here in the Quran is sujood of fida ibadah or ihda, anything. Whether it's putting your head on the ground, whether it's performing ablution or not, whether it's just bowing to the sun, to the moon, and to any other thing that is not Allah. Because Allah now says, وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ. Do you understand? Allah is now saying that it's only to Allah that you should bow or prostrate. That's the first ayah that makes it haram for us to prostrate or bow to anything that is not Allah. But you see, some people say that in their own usul fiqh, you know, people create their own usul fiqh now. In their own opinion, think that this sujood should be said to only be referring to the sujood of Sharia, not of that of inhilal, which has to do with Qadha. That Allah will only say that you should not put your forehead on the ground with ablution while setting the Qadha to the sun or to the moon. It is only the sujood that we know in the Bible that Allah will say you shouldn't do. You should do that to only Allah. But the other sujood, which is not just that you can do to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is sujood al-ihtilal. And they say that what they're saying here is, if you have a word in Arabic which has two meanings, one is restricted to the Sharia, and one, you know, can be used for other than Sharia, reason other than Sharia, but if it is used in any verse or any hadith, if that word is used and it does specify that it should tell you that the word is talking about the Sharia, not about the Ada, because the Quran did not come to teach you the Ada, it came to teach the Sharia. So if it just mentions the thing, and listen like that, Sharia is talking about the Sharia, not the Ada. I will say, fine. Very good. Very good, okay, you say. Now, let's look at it. Does that mean that when Allah says, وَحَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا, that we should keep this sujood to do that in the Sharia, that they worship the Nabi Yusuf the way they would have worshipped Allah also? Is that what Allah was saying? Huh? But Allah asked the Malaika to worship Adam because he used sujood there. So let's take it to be the sujood of Sharia, not Al-Ada. Was Allah asking the Malaika to worship Nabi Adam? No. So that was pretty sick. It's, then the fact of the Umur. It's not the pretty sick that we just did ourselves with Adam. That was the Al-Muta Akhdur. Like one Adam, Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Qutri, he teaches the Sharia in Jamia Islamiyya, he says, مُؤْمِن مُتَأَخِّرِينَ 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 مُتَأَخِّرِينَ. So from the last of the last of the last of the last of the last generation. Definitely not from the first, because the first are the ones that we respect most, because we have the best people from that generation. This hukum is not from that generation. The hukum for that generation is the hukum you had in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud. Sunan Abu Dawud. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was asked by a sahabi, if we meet each other and we want to show respect to each other, this is the hadith, it's better sometimes to quote the hadith exactly the way it is. That the sahabi, قال رجل, somebody said, this hadith is from Anas bin Malik. Somebody said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, come messenger of Allah, حَذِنَا يَلْقَى صَدِيقًا أَيَلْحَ لِلَهِ. If one of us meets his friend and he wants to show respect, أَيَلْحَ لِلَهِ, should he bow to him? So he didn't actually, he didn't even use the word sujood. He used the word inna. That's why I kept saying sujood inna. That's why I kept saying bow to not prostrate. Should he bow to him? Qala, he said, فَقَدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا. And Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ said to him, لَا. What does لَا stand for there? No. And he used to say there are two لَاs in Arabic. There is لَا النَّاسِيَة and there is لَا النَّاهِيَة. So the first law is the law that says there is nothing like that that exists. That is an-nafiyah. And there is the law that is la an-nahiyah. Don't. La tasjudu. La tazhar. La tazhar. That is la an-nahiyah. But la an-nafiyah is nothing like that. La ilaha illallah. That's la an-nafiyah. So they say the la here is la an-nafiyah, not la an-nahiyah. It's the same thing here, that there is nothing like bowing to your friend. Is that what you say? That there is no ilhina? It's not la an-nafiyah, because you're not saying that there's nothing like that. I mean, Rasulullah alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam knew that there was such a thing, that some people somewhere were doing that, even though it was not the culture of most of the Arabs. A few of them used to do it, but it wasn't the culture. It's reported in a hadith that one of them went to a land where the people used to do that, and he came and said he wanted to do it to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because he saw the people of Satan and doing it. And the Prophet said, no, don't do it to me, it's not the culture. Is not the culture of the Muslim. So he said, la, no, don't. Qala, he said, فَيَلْتَكِمُهُ وَيُقَبِّلُهُ. Should I now embrace him and kiss him? My male friend, should I kiss my male friend? Should I meet you, will I kiss you? So Qala, the Rasul said, la, no, don't. Qala, he now said, فَيُصَاصِحُهُ. What should he do? Should he shake his hand? Qala, he said, na'am. Insha'a. If he so wishes, he should shake his hand. Even that, this hadith is concerned, is not compulsory. Okay? Because he said, insha'a. Because, I mean, if he is a leper, and there is a saw there in his hand, did you shake him? No, of course not. It's not convenient, so you wouldn't shake him. Huh? Not everybody can risk that. Even though some people with high iman can do it, and nothing will happen. Unless Allah has decreed that it will happen. Yes, it is permissible. If not, at least it has been said that you should not do it. If Allah has said don't do it, and you do it, and something happens, yes, Allah permitted it. But you, now you cut up. You offended Allah. Even though, yes, Allah had not permitted, even when you offend Allah, it will still not happen. So anyway, it was Siyakuli Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi. So it's Dawud, Abu Dawud, it's Imam Ahmad bin Ahmad, and also the Sunnah of Imam At-Tirmidhi. But then, in that of Tirmidhi, this Insha'a does not exist there. وَلَغْضُ إِبْنِ مَاجَهْ لَغْضُ وَفِيْهِهَا وَلَكِنْ تَسْرَفَهُ. In the Sunan of Ibn Majah, Rasulullah alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, no, وَلَكِنْ بَقْضَتِ تُدُوءِ تَسْرَفَهُ شَيْحًا. So in the Siyak of Ahmad, in the Siyak of Imam Ahmad, what was stated there was that Insha'a, if he likes, if he so wishes, if he shake his hand. But in both of Ibn Majah, it was a command. Don't do that. Instead, Tasrafahu, shake hands. Do we understand? Some ulama try to say that this hadith is not authentic. Some try to say that this hadith is not authentic. I will not bother you with the tahrif of the hadith, because it's a nonsense. But all the subha that they try to bring, they are treated in Sunnah al-Ahadith al-Sahih. The first volume is 249. If you are a muhaddith, go and check the tahrif and see if it is correctly found. This is why I'm saying that in our Sharia, it's not permissible that you bow to somebody while showing respect or something. Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked if somebody could do that, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you can't do it. There's a hadith, however, that has committed one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade, and that is embracing and the friend. It's been permitted in the Mas'ala, in another hadith. So what you are saying here is, in this hadith, is that it's not the norm that you meet your friend every time you embrace him and give him a hug. No. But when the person, you know, if it's somebody that you have not seen for a long time, or is coming from a long journey or something, you can embrace the person. That part of the embrace has been permitted in another hadith, and which is part of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did. So that is permissible. What is not permissible is that you make it the norm. Okay? Subhanallah. Where is this going to happen today? We continue tomorrow. Okay? I'm not spoken Igbo. Are you satisfied, okay? Is that not Igbo? So Alhamdulillah, we'll stop here inshallah tomorrow and continue with that explanation. Is that alright? Just one thing. Please, the balance of being useful. Okay? What the ulama say is that the things they did could not have been done by prophets. There is only one of them that some ulama consider a prophet. That person who said, not talk to me, Lucifer. They say that that man could have been a prophet. I have never read any hadith that confirms that he too was a prophet. And the things that the Allah did, they said, prophets cannot be done by prophets. So they said they were not prophets. Allahu A'lam. Did any of these hadiths categorically say, yes, they were or no, they weren't? But I've heard some ulama say that their own ulama also taught them that those things that his brothers did were the reasons why they say that they were not prophets. Allah Ta'ala A'la. You don't know the answer. The question says, can one person perform Salat al-Tasbih on the last Friday of Ramadan? You should not be specific about the day you perform it. If you want to be specific, there has to be a hadith. That's the problem. If there is no hadith, any time that you can perform it, perform it. If it happens that the last hadith that you have the opportunity, there's no problem with that. But saying that you particularly waited for a particular Friday, that's where the problem comes. Pay attention to that. If you have an authentic hadith, fine. Yes? No. No. Nawafil are not performed jama'atan except Salatul Layl. And the key, Salatul Ibad. The other Nawafil are performed, you know, individually. Huh? What is that? Is that not Salatul Layl? Yes. Yes. Me, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. No, no, no. It's not permissible. It's not permissible that you choose a particular day to celebrate the Lailatul Qadr or to do some after. It's not permissible because it didn't come in the Sunnah. It's an innovation. The search for the Lailatul Qadr from should be from the night. You know, I don't know how to put it in English now, because it may mean something different from what it means if I put it literally, the way it is in Arabic, if I translate literally. But the night of the 20th day of Ramadan is, well, if for instance, the second day of fasting will begin. Huh? In the night today. That's the 20th, the night of the 20th day of Ramadan. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Maybe it could make you say the night of the 19th. Huh? Is that how you say it in English? You are the ones who know English. I don't. So the like that night, that's the night you start doing your ijtihad for Lailatul Qadr. From that night. The night that seems to indicate that's a particular night. In Hurul Ulama, the best thing to do is to look for it from both nights. From the night of the 20th to the 19th. You continue till the end. It could be every night up until the 27th. So don't just concentrate on the 27th. And don't choose any particular thing that you do. Just engage in any act of ibadah that night. Any act of ibadah. And the best of ibadah is of Salah. The best of Adhkar, Qira'atul Qur'an. If you can't do any of these two, you can just sit down and say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. You can't do it. Allah accepts those acts of ibadah from us. But making it one easy like that. It was not done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that will not take you any reward. This one is, you once bring one of your children to say, there is no law recognized Islamically other than Kitab or Sunnah. So what is the faith of Muslims that are part of constitution draft? Allah has instructed it as the law of the land. If you draft a constitution, you see, constitutions, the elephants have a constitution. Whatever you call it, you like bylaws or by rules or by whatever, it's the same thing. Eh? If you are talking about the constitution, to me, I'm a layman, I don't know law, I'm not a learned man. That's why lawyers are the ones who say they are learned. I'm not learned, I'm not a lawyer. So, but then, I think. But if you are talking about the constitution, I think Islamically, you're talking about two things. One, you could be talking about a set of rules to guide a particular thing you want to do. Huh? It's not compulsory that the rules are not written in the Quran. Simply that they should not be against the Quran. Isn't it? So what you could call constitution. As far as I understand it, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, he ordered that the Adhan be twice more than just once at his house in the time of Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was not in the Quran, that was not in the Hadith, but what is it now? Sunnah. عليكم بسنتي وسنه الخلفاء الراشدين من بعدي. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, and he did it for a reason. Something that started happening, which was not happening in the time of Rasul. And for that he did that. Even he is amongst al-khulafاء الراشدين. He did like that, that an adhibah at that time would be sunnah, because Rasul also said Rasul and sunnah. You will not now use that to say you can also now innovate. Because maybe now Uthman could do it and you can also do it. No, you are not the same thing. So what I'm saying is, there is qiyas in Islam. You compare your situation to the situation that existed then. Now, what you're having now is not the same as what you had then. And, but then you're comparing. There's nothing in the Quran to say that this thing happened. But then if you compare this to something, can you actually do it because now you don't have any text and this thing has become necessary? That's what will lead to constitutions in some areas. You will hear that Jama'at al-Nusra al-Islam has a constitution. Jama'at al-Zalik al-Bid'ah has a constitution. The MSF has a constitution or bylaws or whatever you call them. You know, the Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs and so on and so forth, all of these have constitutions. These will not be kufr on their own because they are not the Quran. No. But are they in agreement of the Quran and Sunnah? If they are, there's nothing wrong with them. What I see of the Constitution, the context of the Constitution is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said what his rulings are. On the zina, you know, intoxicants and so on and so forth. And you now come and enact laws and that says that they are permissible. There's nothing wrong with them. This part of the Constitution is going against the Quran. This is kufr. This is the direct opposite of the Quran. This is kufr. So if you're talking about the drafting of Constitution and all that, if a Muslim sits down and says that by this Constitution, such a thing has not become permissible, and Allah says it is not permissible. That person has committed kufr. Ordinarily, that's an act of kufr. But if he is a kafir, it also depends. Why did he do it? Did he know that what he was writing was the direct opposite of what the Quran had said, or did he not know? That's a question that he should be asked. If he knew, did he do it because he was forced, or was it of his own volition? That he will have to be asked too. Maybe it was of his own volition and he knew it was haram, but he thought that he had a reason. Not to justify what he was doing. Maybe because he thought, okay, let me write this thing that may have been against the Quran so that I will now have the chance to write a lot of things that will be in support of the Quran. Let me just write this one because they will not allow me to cancel everything, for instance. Maybe that was his own ta'wil. And he felt that for that reason he was justified to do it. And he did it. Don't call him a prophet if he did it for that reason. He gives people other. This man did this thing because he thought. Somebody killed a Muslim because he thought that the Muslim was a munafiq. He was not actually a real Muslim. That he only said La ilaha illallah so that he would not be killed, so that he would get the ghanima, so that this and that. That was his ta'wil. The prophet was angry, but he didn't call him a kafir. In fact, he didn't even pay diya. Now became the right of the government to pay because it was that will that made him do what he did. So the government isn't punished the way others would have been punished if they hadn't such a that will. I hope you know what that will means. Huh? لا يمكن قريت من الميت تعذير كذا أجل إثناء وثانا يذير المجوات وثا التعويض ها؟ أمير سيد البكسة What is ta'wil called in English? Something called induction. Insulation. Insinuation. Something called insinuation. Contextualization. Something says that. Subhanallah. Me, I say ta'wil. There's an alim who says ta'wilayah. I don't know Allah, Allah, I don't know one word for it. But you have given us something induction, something insinuation, something. Allah Alam. But if it is called Ta'wil, look over. Huh? Sign us up? Please sign us up. You take 2 minutes off. It's now up to 2 minutes. Alhamdulillah. So if it's on Ta'wil, don't call him a kafir. But if it is pure fusuq, it is still wrongdoing. If Allah has decreed that this is what it should be, for somebody to now say, no, the law is different. Whether it can be called kufr or not, that's a different matter. But if it is an offense, till the end of time, it will always be an offense. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdih. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka.